Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Brandy was talking about the, you know, we've changed, we've crossed over. I want to let you know, we have crossed into a new season. I believe that 100%, not just because of the name change. I believe something happened even last week in the spirit that we have crossed over. Yeah. Amen? Okay, now, how many know that when you hit spring and you are in spring, every once in a while you can have a fluke snowstorm and you're like, what is going on? Right? Does it make you think that spring is not there anymore? That you're back to winter? No, it's just a moment you're like, wow, this is a fluke. So I just want to let you know that because you may be like, well, man, for me, it just doesn't feel like it's changed. Well, sometimes there's a delay, sometimes there's a fluke, and you're like, no, you're not back in the same season. This is a new season. Amen? Just remember that. Amen. Oh, one more point. I just got to say it, and you're going to have to help me, Rod. Maybe, you know what? Can you come up and explain? And I'll tell you what to explain. That baseball player we were talking about the other day. What's his name anyway? Sean, you sent me a while back. What's the baseball player's name?
I don't remember his name.
You guys aren't helping at all today. Third baseman for the Philadelphia Phillies. But you don't have a name? Okay, there's this guy. It's really not the name anyway, it's the point. Sean, I don't know when you sent that to me, but I hadn't watched it. And then I watched it and I thought, because God's asking me to dream about what this church is going to look like in the future. And when I saw this, I'm like, this is what I want as part of our house for the future. So there's this Philly third baseman who was supposed to be Trey Turner, supposed to be quite a hot ticket. And great batting average going in, but I don't know if it was the season when it started, but he started to like strike out. He sucked. Terrible. But he was supposed to be like, they paid how much for this guy?
Like millions.
How much?
Over
15 million. How many know if you put 50 million into an investment, you want it to do well? And Rob was saying Philly is often known for its brutal criticism. So he would get up there, he would strike out, they would boo him to the point where he would get up to the bat and they would be booing him. Well, somebody had this idea, I don't know who it was.
The ultimate Philly fan.
The ultimate Philly fan. We're using a lot of unknowns here. Whoever that is, the ultimate Philly fan, put a social media post out and he said this. He said, next time when he gets up there, let's give him a standing ovation. So that's what they did. It must have been like a tournament that weekend because it talks about this weekend, the change that happens over the weekend. Because when he gets up there, they give him a standing ovation. I don't know if he hit at that point.
He did hit.
I don't know if he got on base. But anyway, throughout the entire weekend, every time he got up, they gave him a standing ovation. Every time. Just the crowd would go wild. They'd give him a standing ovation. And by the time the weekend was over, he was hitting home runs. Did he hit a grand slam? And now he's back up to the way, you know, his worth of what they expected. What changed? The audience? What else? What? I didn't even hear you, sorry. The encouragement changed his mindset to believe in himself again. And that's the only thing that changed was his mindset. I believe people will walk through these doors and we will have the privilege of being those people that give standing ovations to change mindsets. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Amen.
That to me would be worth just every Sunday coming in and finding one person. You know, Ryan, you encouraged me this morning. That felt really good. It kind of changed my mindset. It feels good when you get encouraged. But there are people that rarely ever get encouraged. You guys in here, we get more encouragement on a regular basis because you encourage each other. There are people growing up that don't get encouragement at all. So that put that in your mind, like lock that in. And maybe we'll post it, Sean. Can you do that for me? Post it on our family website. And just watch how this guy transforms and becomes back to what he truly is. So just remember that. That's what this house is going to be, a house of hope, right? And that, when they gave a standing ovation, they released hope back into that man. Because how many know, man, when you're in playoffs and you're in your home turf, you know, usually you always do better than when you're on the road, unless you're one of those underdog type people, but it's nice to have encouragement when you're in the playoffs. Okay, that's not what my sermon's about, but hey, it was fun. So thank you. Welcome to Ascent. And we have, you know, last week, a big name change. I watched a lot of you wait. And I thought, boy, you know, you're wondering, somebody's quitting, getting fired, or, you know, anyway. But so it's a name change, and I want to speak into that a little more today. But before I get into it, I want to share a story. You're going to find that over the coming months, and this is actually what I love about our name change, is there will be a lot of mountain terms that we put in, because I believe it is both biblical, but it also is a great way to remember things. All right, so I want to tell you a story 22 years ago. Can you believe it, honey? 22 years ago, Chris and I had a chance to go to Colorado Springs. Anybody ever been to Colorado Springs? Oh my goodness, nobody ever. Oh, it's gorgeous. And we went on a course for 1 month, Tamara Winslow. It was a life institute. It was basically like a crash course in everything, Bible, you name it. It was an awesome time. And I really, as I was looking back and thinking about it, I realized God sent some people there for me personally. I'm sure for Krista too, but I'm speaking for myself. I hadn't even thought about this, but one of the guys that was taking the course was like an adventure junkie and loved to have fun. And in our spare time, he loved to play Frisbee. And I'm not one to sit around. Like, I can do it for a little bit and then I go crazy. And this guy just loved to throw around a Frisbee. So I found myself with this long-haired hippie guy talking about God, you know, throwing the Frisbee around. It was awesome. But another couple there that were actually helping with the Institute, they were rock climbers. And they have a place, so I'm gonna show you a picture. It's called Garden of the Gods. Sounds like something from the Avengers. Garden of the Gods, this is a famous rock formation. It's known throughout the world, and it literally, you walk in, and it's like these towers of rocks. It's absolutely incredible. And these guys were legit rock climbers, husband and wife team. They love to rock climb. And I thought, this is an adventure. If I can do this, this would be so cool. And so sure enough, I think he had just gotten back one day, and I'm like, you went rock climbing? He's like, you want to go? I'm like, yeah. And Krista actually wanted to go. I couldn't believe it. And so they had the whole thing. They had the ropes, the harnesses. They had everything. And they would be our guides to teach us how to rock climb. I'm going to show you a really old picture. This one next. You can't even hardly see it. I wish we could have blown it up, but it is an old picture. See that little bump there? I think that's me. And there's somebody up top. And we'll show the next picture, but we won't show it very long because it's not the most endearing picture for my wife, but go ahead. And you can change it. But that is us learning how to rock climb. She didn't get a picture of me with my endearing end, but here's what's amazing. We knew nothing about rock climbing. And these guys, first of all, when you get up there, you have to get your line up. So they have the eyelets basically in the rocks, but you have to get up there to put your ropes in. They don't have ropes. They can't leave ropes there because you never know how, you know, long they've been there, whether they've rotted. So somebody has to climb that thing without any ropes to get the ropes up. And this guy was like a monkey. I watched him get the rope up, bring it down. It was incredible. And then he starts teaching us, this is how we're going to rock climb. So, you know, they're showing us how to put on the harness and helmets. I put two words together there. They also showed us if we were belaying, you know, if you're at the guy at the bottom, all you have to do is do the rope like this because it'll stop it. This will open it. That's an important thing to remember, I found out. So if it's like this, the rope will, but if you go like this, the rope stops and the person that's falling won't fall anymore. Started to teach us all this stuff. And it's awesome until you start climbing. You know, 5 feet in, no problem. 10 feet in looks like about 20 feet in. Like, it's just surreal how high up. And your legs start to shake because you're both tired and nervous. And the higher you go, the more nervous you get. But I remember them being on the bottom just yelling things out. Hey, you got a foothold to your left. You know, put your foot there. Okay, there we go. And you're like shaking. They try to teach you, too, not to use your upper strength, but to use your legs, because your legs will last a lot longer than your upper body. But he coached us all the way to the top, if we could get to the top. I don't think the first time I made it to the top, you know. And then the crazy thing is you fall, because at some point we did fall. I fell. I'm going to say me. I remember kind of falling, sliding, and then he catches you and then slowly lowers you down. And then Krista went. She got pretty high, which is awesome. And then I went and got pretty high. And then he said, well, I want to go. You help me. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I got the rope, and he just, again, he monkeys all the way up. He's like, okay, I'm going to belay down. I forgot about that part where you're supposed to do this when they go too fast. So what was I doing? I'm trying to stop his weight with my hands. And the rope is ripping through my hands until I finally remembered, and he was coming down pretty quick. And that was a moment. Quite a moment. Why do I say all this? Because it was amazing to have a guide help us to climb. When moments when we got stuck, man, there was nothing like having somebody there to go, hey, it's okay, you can do this. You know, that standing ovation moment? That's what he was giving us at times. And he would help me find footholds and handholds that I couldn't even see, or explaining that if I did this, you know, and this at the same time, I'd be able to have leverage to be able to get to the next. Like, he was explaining all that. And I want that to burn into your minds, because that's really what we're called as Christians to be. You know, somebody, I'm so thankful last week you talked about your parents. You know, somebody saw them get saved or was a part of that process. And somebody in that process, when they were unsaved, they didn't know anything about God. Then they get saved, and there's a guide in their life now that will begin to go, hey, this is what it looks like to walk with God. You know, this is how you do a devotion. This is why we go to church. This is why we take communion. All that. It's guiding. So Rod and I have decided, actually, it's probably just me. We said the other day, we should not be called pastors anymore. We thought we'd be called Sherpas. There you go. I'm just joking. When I told them that, I said, Sherpa Rod and Sherpa Jay. Sherpas, anybody know what a Sherpa is? If you've never heard of a Sherpa, Sherpas are actually, it's an actual culture and lineage of people that are incredible mountaineers that help people get up Everest. Incredible. I got a few pictures of Everest. That's a great picture of showing how to help somebody up. Do the next picture. Everest is, you know, just incredible. The ice fields. Has anybody ever seen the ice fields, like with ladders, rickety ladders that go, you know, 30, 40, 50 meters down into the abyss, and they walk across? And then I think I got one more. I was going to get a Sherpa picture, you know, but there's a guide leading people up to Everest. It's incredible. So I want to talk to you today quickly about, we're going to do some goals, but I really want to talk about, and we have talked about this before, but everybody say this with me. We are ascent. We are. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not just you. Everybody point to me and just say, it's not just him. We are ascent. There is no moment in the Bible where one person was everything, or one, or a group of people, or just staff. We are a body of believers, amen? Amen. And just like we are ascent is the name of the body of believers that you belong to. But when I go to Parkwood, or if I go to WCF or Inspiration 9 or any church you can think of, they are my brothers and sisters. They're just part of another family, but they're my brothers and sisters, because we can't all fit under one house, nor should we, right? But they're part of the family. Just like we're the Armleys, but they're the Armleys, and we're the Armleys, but we're still one family, but separate families. We are, you know, each part of a family, and our family's growing. We are ascent. And I hope in the next 20 minutes, one of the things I wanted to begin to do is break the mindset, and again, we've talked about this, we don't go to church, we are the church. But it's important to go to the church. I think in the process of trying to get people to understand we are the church, you could lose value for the church, and yet I know throughout my life that I don't think I would be here today without the building and the people in the church. Okay? You following me? I believe God has great value for the local church. If not, then you wouldn't read through the New Testament and find how he structured the new church. A lot of people are like, well, no, we are the church. We don't need the church. Well, then why would he talk about the elders of a church? Why would he talk about bishops and pastors and all these things? Why would he talk about the order of a gathering of believers. He talks about all these things in Corinthians and different places. He wouldn't do that if he didn't find need for the church. Amen? Are you with me? Okay, turn, we're going to look at a few scriptures. I'm going to put a few of them up. Turn to John with me. How many flips do I hear right now? How many Bible flips? I hear one, two. Do I have three? John 20. Verse 21 to 23. John 20, 21 to 23. Just to give you context, Jesus has already died on the cross, so this is after his resurrection. And he comes to them in John 20, 21 to 23. Everybody there? So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you." Why does he say that? Because he was dead and now he's alive, right? If you saw a ghost, right? If you saw somebody that you watched die on a cross, I'm sure the words you would need to hear are peace, peace, peace. But listen, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Let's just stop there. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. I think one of the greatest dishonors we've done to the gospel is that we made Christianity about a prayer. We made it about saying a few words to accept Jesus into your heart. Now you're saved and you're going to heaven. But how many know that's like the very beginning? Right? Let me put it this way. Honey, can you stand up, please? On her birthday 26 years ago, yep, 26 years ago, I almost got on a knee. That was my plan in a restaurant. I was going to get on my knee, and then she gave me a look like, if you do, I'll kill you, because she's embarrassed. But I was going to get on my knee, and I was going to ask her for her hand in marriage. But she said yes, because I did it without getting on my knee. But 26 years, August the, I guess it would have been 26 and a half years ago, but 26 years, August the 30th, we'll have been married for 26 years. And when I got at the altar, we were like this, and we were at the altar. My mom was marrying us. How many know that the moment I said yes until death do us part was the beginning? Right? How many know that it takes a long journey after that to do marriage? Marriage is a journey. But when I said yes and that ring went on her finger, I'm just going to join words today to speed up the sermon. The ringer, when I put the ring on the finger, it was simply the moment to begin a journey together. Now, how many think it would be absolutely crazy if I put the ring on her finger and then I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm going home. We're married. See ya. Bye-bye. Would that be crazy? Of course. We spent 26 years figuring each other out. And sometimes refiguring each other out, because as you get older, some things change, right? What I love about marriage is at no point did I say to her, you have to now figure me out, but I don't have to figure you out. We've been figuring each other out for 26 years. But a lot of times in church, unfortunately, we can have somebody say a prayer, get saved, and it's like they think that the journey's over. Or they go to church and they think, I'm doing, you know, Krista said it, that duty, that religious duty to make sure for the next 6 weeks you tithe, maybe you take communion, God gets off your back, and you're good until next Sunday. Well, I know we don't believe like that, but at the same time, have you ever met a Christian and you're like, you've been a Christian for how long? I've been a Christian for 40 years. You know, as they flip somebody off or getting too close to them. And you're like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Why? Because at some point after 40 years, you expect some things to begin to fall off. Now, you don't expect them to fall off all at once, my goodness. And maybe that's the only thing that person hasn't conquered in their life, and praise God, everything else is great. But I have met people that I'm like, 40 years is a long time to be walking with God, to still be in the exact same shape that you were when you accepted Jesus. Like, I'm closer to Krista today than 26 years ago because we've walked together for 26 years. And at the same time, I still blow it. Every once in a while, I still make a mistake, and so does she. You know, the other day, I'll just pick on her because it's easier. Oh, yeah, I'm not, I'll just go up here. Oh, by the way, the other day I met somebody I hope to see at church soon, but as soon as I met her, I'm like, they've got to go to Karen's Bible study because they would fit so in. Like, she's a hoot. I love her. Anyway, the other day I was trying to find a drill in my house, and I looked everywhere where it should be. Everywhere where it should be. I was all over the house, and she left it in the you know, a room that it shouldn't have been in, and behind a TV that it shouldn't have been behind. And I was so frustrated and texted her, "You left it." It was a nice text, but that's how I felt. And she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. My bad. Please forgive me." That's marriage, right? It's just part of marriage. How many walking with God is the same thing? Oh, and it's not God with us. He's not like, "Oh, sorry, forgot to bless you. I know I said I would." He's not like that. It's usually us, right? Or it's always us. But how many know that's what repentance is? "God, I'm sorry, I blew it. Please forgive me." And he's like, "Absolutely. That's why I died on the cross. And you're just, you know, moving on together." But in the scripture, it says something very clearly. It says, going back to verse 21, it says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" Look at your neighbor and say this, "You're sent." Oh, no, Jay, you don't realize that was just for the disciples. Okay, let's turn over to Matthew. Turn over to Matthew for a second. We call this the Great Commission. Matthew 23. Right? Nope. Matthew 20, keep going, 28. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," again, this is how Matthew, when the words that he saw, he says this, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. To go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Is there a child that just ran by? I'm like, I heard something. Did I see something? That's awesome. What did he just say? Matthew describes it this way, and it's interesting that the true King James doesn't say go make disciples. It actually says go teach all nations. The word teach actually means teach them to follow everything that I've said so they become disciples. And once you've taught them to become disciples, go, they will go now, and I send them to go make disciples. And once those disciples are discipled, then they go and make disciples. And believe it or not, you are a part of that process, because somebody led you to the Lord. Now, they may not have been the part of the discipling process. Maybe they couldn't be. But at some point, you were discipled some way, shape, or form. It's part of the process. So I did some math last night. Here's what's interesting. You know how many years it would take to get Essex County saved? From our church, just our church, if 75 people... I'm just going by like kind of adults, the older ones, young adults. If every year each of us decided to get to be a part of seeing one person saved, every one of us to see one person saved and discipled a year, you know how many years it would take to see Essex County saved? Just our church being a part of the process. Somebody guess. 3, 5, 30, 120. It's biblical, right? 12 years. Just our church alone. And in 12 years, we'd see over, I think it was 500,000 people saved. If every year, every person went, "I'm a sent one, and my responsibility," I didn't just say a prayer, I was welcomed into the kingdom, And as a disciple, I follow the way of the Jesus and the disciples and the apostles. And the disciples and the apostles were sent to go make disciples. So if I'm walking with Jesus, part of the process of who I am is to actually go and make disciples. But a lot of times we have said a prayer and we go to church, but we don't realize that that is actually part of the mission that we're on as Christians. Now you think about it, it's like there used to be a song about having the answer in the back of your pocket. I can't remember, it was a long, long time ago, but it's like having the cure to AIDS and going, well, I just don't want to share it with anyone. How many know that Jesus is the hope of the world? Right? Let's try that again. And maybe this is the problem. Maybe we're not convinced of that. Since we have started the process of the name Ascent, I've had 4 encounters with people just by talking about the name. I'm telling you, the season has changed. I was the other day at a place and it just came up and we were talking and I hope to see her and I'm going to bug her because she's like, I'm coming. She said not this week. She told me she couldn't make it this week, but I'm gonna go see her again. But we're talking about something and this is how it went. Her husband works at Vistaprint. And my mind went, ooh, we're going to get shirts made up. I said, hey, can he get us discounts? Sorry, that was maybe a bad lead-in. But she's like, well, what do you need shirts for? I said, well, we had a name. We're a church. I'm the senior pastor. We just changed our name. She's like, well, where is your church? I said, oh, between, you know, Essex and Dairy Free. Oh, the old bowling alley. I said, yeah, that's our church. And we've just changed it to Ascent. And we got talking about it. And she tells me how she used to go to church. This is like the third person that's told me that. I used to go to church, but I kind of walked away. And she started to tell me she used to go to Leamington Christian Center back in the day. And she was telling me experiences she had with God. She told me one time, and I'm thinking this is probably Pastor Jeff or Pastor Johnny, how she, you know, she's like, man, I got prayer. They laid hands on me. Next thing you know, I'm on the ground. And she says, I wasn't, you know, I know there's that being filled with the Spirit and drunk. I wasn't drunk, but I tried to get up. And the pastor at the back, she said, spoke to me like he was right there with me, but he was at the back, but I heard him like he was right there. And he said, God's not done with you yet. And she said, I fell over again. So I'm like, she knows all about this stuff. But she's like, I haven't been to church in a long time. She says, I like what I hear about this. I want to come visit. I'm like, God, you are opening doors for us. But here's the season change. It's not just like, I hope they come and get a body in the seat. No, I hope they come so they can get on fire and we can disciple them to go make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Think about it. If each of us, one person a year, and I'm going to give you an assignment. This is our assignment. Not because you have to. It's like, Lord, I want to activate my faith. Listen to this quote. I want to give you a quote here. This is so awesome. I don't even know who this person is. Anybody ever hear of Richard Niebuhr? Nope. Okay. He said this. The great Christian revolutions came not by the discovery of something that was not known before. So it didn't come by something that was not known. They happen when someone takes radically something that was always there. Did you get that? Maybe not. I'll read it again. The great Christian revolutions came not by the discovery of something that was not known before. So it's not like this new thing and somebody figures it out and it's new. It's now a revelation. No, they happen when somebody takes radically something that was always there. So it's like reading the scripture and going, well, Jesus always did this. So why don't we do it? And then somebody takes it radically and goes, we're going to do it. So what I'm challenging us as a church to go, let's do it. And I guess I'm by myself. I'm going to say it as real as I can. This is what I've discovered. If I claim to be a Christian, but I'm not actively looking for people to pray for and lead to the Lord, I'm not walking like Jesus. Therefore, I must question how I'm walking. That's as real as we can get, folks. Jesus says, listen, the Father sent me, I came, and I discipled you. Now, he didn't get everyone. It's just like he got who he could, and he discipled them well. And then when he showed up at the end, he said, listen, the Father sent me to do what I did. Now I'm sending you to do what I did. And go teach them to do what I did and what you do. And continue this process until heaven invades earth. This is our call. It's not, so this is where it gets mixed up. It's not to just have our butts in a seat on Sunday and glorify God. That is phenomenal. But that's not the end goal. The end goal is to get filled so we can go out. And I'll be honest, there's times where I could pass 100 people in 3 weeks and not even think about it, and I have to change my mentality now. Like, I am with you in this. This is me going, church, we got to radically take this on. We have to radically take the call of the gospel on. It's called being on mission or missional, meaning that you have the greatest thing on earth. It's actually, let me put it this way. It's in your DNA now. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and his Holy Spirit, okay, because what did he say? Let me just finish that. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Did you hear the baptizing part? Okay, that we want to see people get in that tank. Teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you to the end of the age. In Acts, he shows up again, and he says, you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the cool thing. Did you know that the atomic bomb is the splitting of one of the tiniest things in the world, an atom? Like, how they discovered this, I do not know. It's just incredible. But they figured out how to split an atom and create a chain reaction that causes these bombs to go and create incredible destruction. Did you know that within your DNA is this tiny little thing that says, go make disciples of all the nations? It's in your DNA. And if we're radical enough to go, Lord, use me, I got to get going, let's go. Just like that atomic bomb, that will split and begin to work inside of you, and you will begin to want to see people get saved. It's really quiet in here. Because listen, if what we talked about, like, look, I just keep going back to somebody spoke to my mom, and we've been ministered to it by it. Somebody spoke to Rod and Karen's parents, and that got Rod and his kids. Like, somebody has to speak the word. And church, to go forward, to be a part of what God calls us to do, to be in ascent at this church, you're going to get tired of me hearing it, because it's like, we have got to get busy sharing the gospel. And tell your neighbor it's easier than you think. Nobody's like, I'm not saying that. I don't want to say that. Tell your neighbor it's easier than you think. How do I know? Because I sat with this woman, and at the end she went, you're a pastor? Which I'm not sure how to take that, but it was a conversation that was not miraculous in any way. There was nothing like, wow, I didn't have to use big words. I just simply started to talk about our church and what God's doing and how we have a name change. And she actually spoke almost all. After that, it was like she was just telling me her story. And it was like the Holy Spirit was just simply going, hey, you need to go back to church. I just sat there and, yeah, that's amazing. And she told me these stories. Like, there is something right now in people that they want God. They want hope, if nothing else. They may not know it's Jesus, but they want hope right now. You following? You know, it's really awesome. Buried deep within our name, not actually that deep. You can put up, I don't even know what slide I'm on. Maybe put up a slide and we'll see what slide, whatever. That we've read that one, I believe. Go to the next one. We've read that one. Go to the next one. This is what I'm going to challenge you with. I want this to get, like, I'm going to put this everywhere I can. This is where I pray that this becomes our go-to break the glass. If you can't remember what your call is as a Christian, that you would remember this. You know, when you break the glass and pull the fire alarm, like, that's the only thing. This is it. Release hope daily, pursue one yearly. What if we all took this on? That you took on, every day I'm going to release hope some way, some shape, some form. Encouragement, a text. You meet somebody in the store, the teller that's behind the cashier that's frazzled, and you're like, you know, hey, you're doing an amazing job. It looks like you had a pretty tough day today. I just want to let you know, I appreciate what you're doing. Like, there are so many ways to release hope. It can be as simple as, you know, when you drive by those people that are bored out of their minds with the stop signs that say, slow, stop. Can you imagine that job all day long? But what if you smiled at them as you drove by, you put down the window and say, thanks for keeping us safe. Really appreciate it. You guys do a great job. Did you know that one little comment like that can change somebody's day? Well, I'm not bringing them into the kingdom. I got to get them saved. No, you just need to release hope into their life. And maybe you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden God whispers something and you say it and they're like, whoa, how did you know that? Well, actually that's Holy Spirit and you begin a conversation. Sometimes it's just plain old encouragement. Sometimes God whispers something and you have it in. Either way, you've just released hope into somebody's life. I always talk about the story with COVID when I'm in line and everybody's going crazy and I start cracking jokes and talking about, you know, calling my wife about how much toilet paper we should get and different things. And at the very end, the girl goes, I am so thankful I was in front of you. I needed this because I was, what was I doing? I was just simply being me and just releasing hope. So what if every day we released hope, but we also, and this is the task I have, what if we took this serious? Because I just don't want it to be words and everybody goes home and forgets. But what if you, over the next week, went, Lord, show me three people, maybe four, that I can actively start to pray for to see them come into the kingdom? Would you show me who you are targeting for this year so I can begin to actively daily pray for them and release hope as I pray for them? What would happen if we all picked three people and one of them came into the kingdom next year? What would happen? Well, thank you, Ryan. 11 years left. Because if you teach them and disciple them and get them on the same track and they begin to pray for somebody, you go from 75 to 150, 150 to 300, 300 to 600, 600 to 12. Like, this is exponential growth, and this is what kingdom growth looks like. And you say, are you just trying to build a church? Yes, I'm trying to build God's church. Why? Because God's people change the world. It is awesome that we get to come in here and worship, but shouldn't other people have that opportunity to have life poured into them? And it looks like us literally beginning to go, I'm like, what I would do, I would encourage you either put names on cards and put them somewhere, like on your bathroom mirror would be great. Like, you see your bathroom mirror every day. Or maybe you have them on Facebook and you can print out a picture with their name and go, every day I'm brushed. What if we all brushed our teeth? Start there. And then, Aaron, how long are we supposed to brush our teeth for? 2 minutes? Is that true, Abby? Where's Abby? She confirmed that. All right, this is the dental assistant talking to the dentist. Can you imagine if we prayed for those? Like, this is good. I'm getting this right now. This is not my notes. I'm thinking this would be amazing. If we, for 3 minutes, prayed for those three people every day. Well, you're like, well, what's 3 minutes? Three more minutes than you didn't pray. Because we're all like, man, I'm going to, like, 10 minutes every day. Come on. It's like when you go, I'm gonna pray for 30 minutes tomorrow, and you're like 4 minutes in. What do I pray now? I've been there. I'm like, you pray, and then you're like, shikarabaki, because I don't know what else to pray. But what if for 2 minutes, you're like, I don't brush my teeth for 2 minutes. What if you began to brush your teeth for 2 minutes? And for 2 minutes, you lifted up those three people. Lord, I release hope over them right now. Lord, I release your Holy Spirit to go to minister to them, to prepare their heart, whether it's me or somebody else that's going to come into their life. But Lord, I just declare that they're going to come into the kingdom this next year. What if you did that every day for 365 days? You pray in your head. Everybody's going to come back and somebody's going to be upset like, my whole mirror has spit on it now. I don't like this. You're making my life difficult, people. Like, seriously, like everybody's looking at me like, really? Twelve years ago. I've been married 26 years. I'm not good at math quickly, so that's how many years ago? 14, I would have been 14 years in. Like, that's not a long time ago. Like, it, boom, gone, right? From my 15th year to my 25th, 26th, like, that time flies by, and I'm thinking, what if 26 or 14 years, 12 years ago, I began this? Like, if nothing else, what would it be like if five of those people in 12 years came into the kingdom? Five of those people got saved. The people that I'm like, God, they so desperately need you. How many times have you said that, man, they just need Jesus, right? But what if we did this? Released hope daily, pursued one yearly. Come on, church, anybody want to get on board with this? Because I feel like I'm just... buried within our name. Go to the next slide. This is our desires, to equip people to pursue God and release hope. Next slide. I just love the fact that buried within our name is the very thing that God called you to be, a sent one. We're a sent church. We are a sent church. But Jesus shows up. Don't you think when he shows up, the thing that he's going to say before is really, really important? He says, hey, the Father sent me, and now I'm sending you. You are a sent one. A sent one. We are sent ones. I'm not trying to, yeah, I am. I am trying to put pressure on it. Because what I do know is a scripture that none of us, we read over, we don't like. But I do know this, when I read the scripture that says, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? And he says, I don't even know you. You can look at that scripture many ways, but to me it does say that we can do a lot of things in the kingdom and really not get close to him. It's like being in a marriage, but really, have you ever met a couple that you know they live together, but you're not sure they're married? I've met several. It's like you live together, but you're living entirely separate lives. The only thing that tells me you're married is there's a ring on your finger and you said yes. Other than that, there's nothing. I really hope when people get close to Chris and I, there's no doubt in their mind how much we love each other, even if it's awkward. Stop kissing. We're right here. But I want to be one that and I'll confess, this has not been my MO. This has not been the thing that I do well. I am not evangelistic in nature. I am a pastor. I love to take care of sheep. But I'm telling you, I want to be a sent one. And it's not just like, hey, God, did you know that I led worship? I preached really good messages. I want to be able to go, Lord, I was sent. And I did what you called me to do to the best of my ability. And that's part of it. This is part of it. And this is part of it. But he's like, so is spreading the gospel. That is what I did. And I sent you to do the very same thing. Amen? So will you join me in this adventure? Huh. I got five or six. And what we get to do as we lead people to the Lord, we get to be like those guides that I had, that we get to say, hey, there's a foothold on your right. I didn't even know that existed. Yeah, let me help you, you know, with this process. Oh, that's amazing. What's the Holy Spirit? Oh, that's the handhold to the left. Let me teach you about that. It's discipling. And you get to watch their, you know, Jason, I'll never forget when you came in, like we talked a lot on the phone. You were asking questions and then you had somebody that you were ministering to and you'd be like, hold on, I got to call Jay. And he would call me and we'd almost be like talking back and forth because I was discipling him as he was discipling and helping somebody else. And you had quite a moment there where somebody's life was saved because of you. Yeah, like literally saved because of him. Yeah, it was awesome. And he was just calling, trying to get, I'm trying to stay ahead of him and he's trying to stay ahead of this other guy because that's what discipling is. I don't know if those guys could climb Everest, but they could climb that rock and I couldn't climb that rock. So he taught me how to climb that rock. And now I could probably go, not now, but I could have maybe taught somebody else how to climb that rock. I just need to stay ahead, amen? We're going to take communion. A sent one. Will you release hope daily but pursue one yearly? I wrote this down as you start opening this up. Things you could do. I just want to share really quickly things you could do. One of the greatest things you could do is so when people get saved, you need to get them into this house. I've heard a lot of people go, well, they said a prayer. Well, now we got to disciple them. Well, where are you going to disciple them? You got to get them into the house. So I hope you love your house, this house. I love our house. And when you love your house, it's contagious and people want to come. Because when I was talking with that girl and she saw the excitement, she wanted to come check us out. If I would have been like, well, I'm a pastor at church, it really sucks. The people are horrible. Worship is terrible. Do you want to come? No, thank you. If you need communion. Then I said this, get here about 9:50. How many got here around 9:50 today? Raise your hand. Congratulations. This is what I wrote about that. An empty house is an awkward house, right? But man, it was great to have so much commotion in the foyer. I just loved it. I didn't have to prepare as much. I was able to walk around and it was awesome. And the other thing, last thing, is share what you can on social media. You would be amazed how many people see when you share a post, how many people see that post. And one thing may spark somebody to want to come in. Amen? Amen. Am I stepping on toes today at all? It is growing pains. Well, I want to find a church I could just go and hide in. Well, then you're not really following God. You're hiding from him. We made a statement a while back, walking in the ways of Jesus. And I think, Rod, when we said that and it became part of us, we talk often about that. I am determined to walk in the way of Jesus. I want to walk in the way of Jesus. And this is part of how he walked. But I'll tell you, that adventure is so exciting. To see that woman light up when she was telling me those stories that she probably hasn't told many people. Slain in the spirit and I fell on the floor and he was back there and he said, you're not done yet. And I fell back on the floor. You could see this like, oh, I need that again. That's exciting when you get to be on that side and watch that happen. So I've got a waitress now. I've got another girl I need to pray into. Like I have people, I know one of their names. I think I know the other one too. I'm going to put their names on. Like, Lord, you open that door. Get them, Lord. Because the body of Christ he died for this. Like he died for this opportunity so we could help change people's lives. Amen. So Lord, we thank you for the body. And Lord, I know it can be like super nerve-wracking to even want to talk to people. But Lord, I thank you that when you died, you also empowered us. And part of taking communion is partaking of the very essence of who you are. And the Holy Spirit as well, when he comes into us, empowers us. So we ask, Father God, as we take communion to get together today corporately, that you, Lord, would empower us to do the impossible. And we would become, like that quote said, radical about doing the things that are known. In Jesus' name, let's partake. Lord, we thank you for the blood that was shed. Father God, I ask, Lord, that that blood would just cleanse us once again. Lord, I thank you that the Old Testament shows clearly the sacrifices set people free. Lord, I thank you that your blood is still setting people free. And we just receive that to set us free in Jesus' name. Amen. So why don't you turn to your neighbor and try to remember? It's not up there anymore. Can you remember what it said? That one, but what else? Well, yeah, it wasn't up there. Release hope daily. Pursue one yearly. Release hope daily. Pursue one yearly. How many think you could do that? We're not responsible for the results, right? Isn't God responsible for that? It's like when you pray for somebody, are you responsible for the healing? Absolutely not. That's God's. But we are responsible to go and be sent. Ascent ones. You like what I did there, right? Why don't you stand? So what's your homework? And there's one other thing you need to do. Brush your teeth for 2 minutes. What are you going to do when you brush your teeth? You're going to pray. In your head. And when you spit, say amen. Amen. I'm telling you, those 2 minutes can change somebody's life. Actually, let me tell you this. I promise you, those 2 minutes can change somebody's life. Because prayers are not said, they do not go out void. Like, God works within our prayers. Amen. So, Lord, we ask you to help us to brush our teeth and pray well. Thank you that Ascent, I almost said Antioch, Ascent will have the cleanest teeth around with some of the best prayers around. But Lord, truly help us to begin to search out your heart for the people that are on your heart. Lord, we just don't want to randomly pick people. Lord, you have people that are on your heart. And sometimes we do it. We just have to pick somebody because we want to pray. But Lord, there are people that we know that are on your heart to see coming in the kingdom. Lord, we just pray that this would be like, that, Lord, the celebration that would begin to happen when somebody gets saved and we hear afterwards, that was one of my people. I've been praying for them. Lord, we will all rejoice like crazy. And they will enter into a family to find out that people have been praying for them. So, Lord, I pray you get us excited for that. Pray you bless everyone here. May they have an incredible day. And Lord, may we all, in one way, shape, or form, release hope to somebody today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.